Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things Sox, Pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
And it's Mustard and Johnson Sports Radio, WEEI, 93.7 FM. I got to look over at the wall, Larry, when I say that. I got to be kind of reminded on a regular basis where I am. Usually we're ensconced in the studio to our right in the plushly appointed AM studio. But we're back on FM, and we are ready to roll between now and 4 o'clock.
617-779-7937.
Ooh, you know, you haven't done that in months now. And it just came rolling.
Hey, by the way, those of you who are usual listeners to the FM dial, we are on Saturday mornings on 850 AM, and Craig will tell you how to get there.
How to get there? Well, if you have an AM radio, and very few people do these days, you can listen the old-fashioned way. We have 50,000 watts of pure amplitude-modulated power on the AM side, but it can get a little staticky in some sections around Massachusetts and New England. So the best way, really, is to get the radio.com app. It's on your smartphone, and just in the little bar there at the top, just type in WEEI in the search bar, and you'll find ESPN on 850 AM. That's where we are from 9 to 12 on Saturdays, because believe it or not, a lot of people ask me, are you guys still on the radio?
Yeah, I tell people we've been promoted.
Yeah.
We're at the AM dial now.
We're traditionalists. We're old school kind of guys. And
your grandfather used to, somebody's grandfather used to listen to you. That's what the woman said as she was leaving.
No, she said that she grew up listening to us, and that was quite an honor. I appreciate
it. I enjoyed that. Listening to the show before us, as I think, as usual. I mean, we're still on the Brady watch. We know that. We nobody knows what's going on with him or where he's going or what Belichick's going to do. But the other story that really has snuck in and stolen headlines is this Red Sox mess. And I do mean mess. They've traded Betts and Price to the Dodgers for a couple of minor leaguers. And Red Sox don't like the film that they've seen, and they either want somebody else or else the deal might fall through. And I don't know what would happen after that. I don't know how you can trade people and then turn around and say, hey, welcome back.
Well, it looks as if the Twins may be backing out of the deal. If you saw Alex Spears' piece in the Globe this morning, it appears as though what was a three-way trade that would effectively send Mookie and David Price to the Dodgers may now be just a two-way trade between the Red Sox and the Dodgers, and maybe a separate deal with the Dodgers and the Twins, but the Red Sox wouldn't be involved with the Twins. But this thing is going on now for what, 4 or 5 days? We're in this suspended animation. Everything is up in the air, and it appears, and everything you read is, the chances are greater that the deal will be figured out somehow or another. Mookie Betts will not be playing in a Red Sox uniform, as well as David Price. But the more this thing drags on, you wonder, what if the whole thing blew up and Mookie and Price end up reporting to the Red Sox near the end of the week?
They'd end up holding on to Mookie until the trade deadline comes up, which means I don't know what you'd be able to get for him unless you have a competitive team out there that's desperate and they feel Mookie could take them over the top. The other thing I don't like is they're talking about Renicky possibly for the next manager. And now insiders are saying, yeah, but that would just be for a year, just like kind of get them through the year. So it's almost, if that be the case, it's almost like this year is like a throwaway year.
Well, you have a couple of options here. Door number one is the one that is most likely. Ron Renneke is your manager for who knows how long. Mookie is off to L.A. Price is off to L.A. You might get Alex Verdugo in return. Who knows what's going to happen with the Minnesota deal. And that's pretty much door number one. How about door number two? Renneke's your manager, but Mookie and Price are in a Red Sox uniform in 2020. That would be an interesting scenario. And I don't know if you've talked to people about this deal, Larry, but every time I ask a Red Sox fan off the air, they don't want to see Mookie go to Los Angeles.
I mean, if you think Price had an attitude problem before.
Right. See, there's the problem. How allegedly, and everything we've read, we're not in the Red Sox clubhouse, so we don't know this firsthand, but everything we've read indicates that David Price, believe it or not, was an excellent teammate, that he was very popular.
That's
true. The problem is a lot of his whining and complaining was contagious, and if he's your leader in the clubhouse, then that's not really good because it becomes toxic. Then everybody else comports himself the same way as David Price. I can't imagine Price could walk through those doors again. And looking at it from an L.A. perspective, I mean, you're basically promoting the 2020 season as a season that this time we're getting over the hump. We're going to the World Series, and we're going to win because we have the second-best player in baseball. The first best player is playing down the road in Anaheim. Number two, almost as good, Mookie Betts is playing with us. We have the MVP in 2019, Cody Bellinger, playing center field. We have the MVP in 2018 playing right field. How can we not compete and finally win a World Series championship in the first time since 88?
And Price, for all that's said about him, he could rebound and have a nice year for them. I think the thing that shocks me more than anything about this deal is I just don't think they're getting that much for them. I thought they'd get a couple of really good young frontline prospects for them.
Well,
especially from the Dodgers, because we know the Dodgers are loaded with prospects.
And the Dodgers would not part with their number one and number two prospects, a pitcher and an infielder, I believe. The Twins would give up a 21-year-old pitcher with a really bad injury history.
Tommy John surgery history,
right.
Also.
And Gratterall may be heading back to Minnesota anyway at this point. But I want to know is, and this is the thing that really baffles me, didn't they know all these things when they put this trade together? I mean, did they not do their due diligence, do their homework, and look at this guy's track record?
Well, don't forget, Jaime, they just brought him in within the last, 2 months?
Heim,
yeah.
You said Jaime. Who's Jaime?
Who is it, Heim?
It's Heim.
Heim.
C-H-A-I-M. Chaim means to life.
What's his last name?
Bloom.
I'll just stick with Bloom.
But, you know, it's so funny because you not knowing his name, I think that is pretty indicative of most of Red Sox Nation.
Oh, I think if you were to have a quiz today, I bet you most people would fail it.
If you sat outside Kenmore Square on any afternoon, I don't care if it's now or the first game of the home schedule for the Red Sox in the 2020 season, most people would not know who the new general manager of the Red Sox is.
If you walked by, they wouldn't know him.
Well, he certainly wouldn't know him. But what he's done is, and he's put his stamp, you may not know how to pronounce his name, you may not even remember his last name, but what he's done, if this thing has, you know, is actually going to be realized, is he's put his stamp on this team right away. The message has been conveyed loud and clear. This is... Remember the old, what was that, the B word that you once uttered over there at Fenway Park in front of the some of the brass over there, Larry Lucchino and Theo?
The bridge year.
Yeah, the bridge year. I'm not sure what bridge this is leading to, but you got to believe right now, as we think about pitchers and catchers heading down to Fort Myers on Wednesday and Thursday, whether Mookie stays or goes, it's not going to be a banner season for your Boston Red Sox.
I don't think so at all. No. I don't, you know, usually, and I know when I used to go over there quite a bit, but when you're younger and you go over, like, you usually have a couple of people that you're dying to see. You know, heroes, star players, Lynn or Rice or people like the Pedro, Roger, people like that. I think Betts is that type of player. And again, if you're trading your five-star player, they're just not getting that much for him. They're just interested in dumping salary.
All right, let me ask you this then. If you don't feel as if you're getting the kind of yield you thought you were going to get, why not hold on to him, see if you get a better deal at the trade deadline?
They might end up doing that anyway.
Okay. Now, again, if they do that, they were in a rush. They didn't want this black cloud hovering over the team.
Into spring training.
No. And through the first half of the regular
season.
The
other problem that they have is that the manager they ended up getting rid of was very, very popular around here. He was popular with the media. He was popular with the ball players. And they just ended up getting rid of him.
Well, you make it sound like there was no cause for his dismissal.
Well, how much did you glean out of that press conference that they have? They couldn't talk about anything.
Okay. You're hanging on Alex Cora's association with the 2018 Red Sox sign-stealing scandal, not the 2017. He was intimately involved. The word that they used for his participation in 17 with the Astros was mastermind. Okay? He might have not thought it up. Apparently it was an intern, according to the Wall Street Journal. An intern thought it up. He had some Excel program he had worked out, brought it to the general manager. General manager brought it to Hinchy, and Cora was very intimately involved in executing it. But you keep on thinking that somehow or another Cora was just dismissed because, well, the Red Sox were waiting for the MLB investigation of their involvement in 18, and while that was happening, we'll just get rid of you anyway. No, even if the Red Sox didn't do anything untoward as far as sign stealing is concerned, he was still an integral part of what happened the year before in Houston. He had to pay for that, Larry.
And again,
right?
You sound like you have all this information. I'd like to know where you got it from, because you certainly didn't get it from the press conference.
What information are you talking about?
That they couldn't. Well, who's involved? How involved were they?
Larry,
how extensive?
He's not suspended, or perhaps suspended by the league, and he's not fired by the Red Sox because of the Red Sox. It's because of the Astros. You got to get that in your head.
I understand. Okay, it's there.
All right.
But I don't know how that could carry on through the Red Sox. New day, new team.
What are you talking about? You're going to fire and suspend Hinchy?
Let me ask you this. Did they have sign stealing at Fenway?
Whether they did or not.
So you don't know either.
Okay, but we are left to speculate. And you know what happens. Everybody, you were talking about, yesterday over on the AM side, you were talking about how the sign stealing scandal has really change your mind about what your thoughts are about Bonds and Clemens and all those guys.
I don't back off on any of that.
Right.
I don't. When I sit down to watch a game, I sit down with every intention that everything's on the up and up. Then that's where they have officials and the like to keep things above board.
Right.
You, on the other hand, have enlightened us that you're not that naive, that whatever you watch, you are cognizant of the fact that there's cheating going on.
No, that's not. I'm not watching a game consciously or cognizantly thinking about.
But you are aware that there could be.
I'm always aware of that because I'm a cynic. You're an idealist.
Well, see, that's ridiculous. That's, it's not ridiculous that you think that way. If I were to think that way or whatever, like Mark and et cetera, I don't know how you could ever bet on a sporting event.
Well, I don't bet on it. I don't even think
that
way.
No, but I mean, I don't know how people could if that possibility exists.
I think that if you're a gambler and you're putting a few shekels, as Eddie Edelman used to say, on a ball game, maybe you're even more cynical than I am. But I'm not oblivious to the fact that competitive professional athletes will do anything they can to get an edge. We found that out in the steroids era. They took greenies in the 1960s, amphetamines, to stay up for 162 games.
Or whatever.
Well, that was, whatever that
Mark
was.
McGuire had that in his locker.
Okay, but of course, that was just a smokescreen for what he was really doing, which was steroids. We all understand that. So I'm not going to sit there and be totally oblivious to the possibility that athletes are still using PEDs.
So it didn't bother you when the story came out about the Astros stealing signs?
Did it bother me? Yes, because I thought that was worse than steroids. It's worse than Rose. It's number two behind the Black Sox. The Black Sox, obviously, the worst scandal, because you are manipulating the outcome of the game. You're purposely doing things or not doing things on a baseball field to influence an outcome.
Well, what's sign stealing?
Okay. Sign stealing is number two.
Isn't it just as bad?
I think it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm outraged by it, but I'm not surprised. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. The most famous home run in baseball history, Bobby Thompson, the shot heard around the world, October 3rd, 1951. There's a lot of theory out there, but Bobby Thompson knew exactly what was coming when Ralph Branca threw that pitch in the ninth inning of the Polo Grounds. Because the Giants were involved in a primitive form of sign stealing throughout the second half of the 1951 season. If you're a baseball historian, you know that. That's been revealed years ago.
What about Maserati?
Maserati? He works over at the other station.
Not only Maserati. Who was the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Mazurowski? Bill Mazurowski?
Yeah.
What about him?
Any controversy on him?
No. Why would there be?
Why would there be on anybody?
No, but Larry, there was a story about 30 years ago, after a lot of digging, a couple of historians and baseball writers went back to the 1951 season, and the Dodgers had a 13.5 game lead on the Giants, and the Giants suddenly got hot in the second half of the year, and they trace a lot of that to sign stealing. They had a guy out in center field. Okay, and because the clubhouses were all in center field in the old Polo Grounds, and they had a guy in center field signaling to the dugout, because he got a great view and he decoded the signs from the catcher, and then relayed those to the Giant dugout, and the Giants utilized that very effectively because they erased that 13.5 game deficit, tied the Dodgers in the last day of the regular season, and then beat them in a 2-out-of-3 playoff. And that was that people didn't know about that for years and years, but over the last 30 or so years, it's common knowledge. So this has been going on. How about, you know, the CCNY in the 1950s threw a bunch of college basketball games, BC basketball, 1978. But I would say this, these players aren't throwing games to help bettors out or the mob or anything like that, because there's no incentive financially. These guys are making millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, in college.
They were then. What they're trying to do, what the Astros are trying to do, is simply win. Maybe the Red Sox were doing the same thing. But you'd have to believe that other teams might have at least experimented a little bit with this. They can't be the only two teams who engaged in this activity. Do you believe that? Do you think that the Astros Sox are aberrations?
Absolutely not.
No, of course not. That's my point.
That's why, I'll admit it. I will admit it, that I have changed my mind and that I think Clemens and Barnes and McGuire and they should be allowed to come into the Hall of Fame, because I think what they did was far less damaging to the game than a team or an organization operating this way.
Well, you could make a case.
Because you can affect games. You can, what Bonds and them did, you can affect the individual in their ability to play better, but not the game.
Well, I'm looking and thinking about what they did. And I think that, you know, Bonds' first half of his career when he was with Pittsburgh and maybe for the first 4 or 5 seasons with the Giants.
Hall of Fame numbers.
He started taking the juice when McGuire and Sosa were getting all the attention with that home run assault in 1998. So you could look at pre-98 Hall of Fame numbers, Hall of Fame player without the juice. Clemens, you can make the same case. Bonds never won a World Series. So the steroids had no impact on championships. As far as Clemens is concerned, Clemens won two of the Yankees.
When did he start taking? When he went to Toronto?
I think Toronto. So you can make a case that he wasn't a huge... He won a Cy with the Yankees in 2001, but the Yankees didn't win the World Series that year. They won in 2000. So Clemens actually only won one World Series all told, and that was with the Yankees in 2000. They lost. He pitched very well in Game 7 of 2001. But the bullpen, remember Mariano Rivera gave up that hit at the end of the game to Gonzo.
He was a stiff anyway.
Right. Whatever happened to him anyway? But my point being that you're right. Bonds and Clemens really didn't have a huge impact on teams winning. Clemens, you know, wasn't make or break that the Yankees needed Roger Clemens to win the 2000 World Series. Actually, was he born in 99, too? I don't remember if he was there. Maybe Mike from Canton can help us out with that. As a matter of fact, speaking of Mike from Canton, why don't we grab him before the break? Mike in Canton. Why? What do we owe this honor to?
Hiya, fellas. How you doing?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Are you enjoying these Red Sox activities?
Larry, it's hilarious.
You couldn't write a better script than this.
What a cluster blank. I'll tell you, it really is hilarious. And let me tell you something. This fella Bloom, I mean, the guy did a good job at Tampa Bay, but make no mistake about it. John Henry's fingerprints are all over these moves.
Of course. Okay? He hired Chaim Bloom to do exactly what he's doing.
Right. Exactly. You're going to see John Henry be the de facto, his own de facto GM. Okay? And, you know, I think we've talked about this before. John Henry, it's like the New England weather. His philosophy of baseball changes daily.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, I think if you were to have a meeting with him when he sat down with Bloom and he just said, look, plain and simple, I want to cut so much money off the payroll. I don't care how you do it. I want you to cut it, and that's what I want. So,
he's willing to give the Dodgers half of Price's contract. Pay for half of, so he wants Price out of there. There's no question about that. I mean, long-term deal may be better for the Red Sox. They'll take a hit this year, though.
Yeah, but they're not really getting anything back either. I mean, if you were getting a couple of young studs, then at least you could say, yeah, but think of the future. He's going to get some really good young players.
The other thing I don't understand is you're supposed to vet these guys that you're getting before you make the deal. And now, at the 11th hour, after, you know, when they're ready to close it, they have a problem with this guy in Minnesota. And now, of course, it's, as Craig points out, the Twins are backing out. So I don't know. I mean, look, who knows what's going to happen now.
Yeah, but the thing that you're forgetting and all is the spring training is starting in a couple of days.
No, I'm not forgetting, Larry. It's going to be awkward. Yeah, you're right.
Awkward, to say the least. Can you imagine David Price returning to the Red Sox clubhouse after he thought he was out of here?
Right. Oh, and Craig, you're right, Craig, and I want to make a point because you said he's liked by his teammates. Keep in mind, Adrian Gonzalez was liked by his teammates.
Hey, a man's got to eat. That's all I can say.
Now, Craig, one of the all-time stupidest remarks in the history of sports.
Man's got to eat.
Oh, boy, was that a classic.
He had his teammates back, buddy.
Oh, that was a beautiful. I remember Larry went nuts when he made that comment. I forget. Larry saw red on that one. Okay,
but I do think that I wonder what Henry and Werner are going to be looking at when this team trots out on the field.
What do they expect
to see?
What they need to do is a reboot. They're trying to reboot. They're looking at this thing as a 4 or 5 year project. You know, you might compete for a wild card over the next couple of years as you restock the shelf in the minor leagues, Brian Cashman.
What are they restocking the shelves with?
But, Craig, I heard the tail end of your show yesterday, and you made a good point. The natives are going to get restless if they're in third place behind Tampa Bay in June. They're not going to just sit still for this.
You're getting rid of your best everyday player,
right?
And you're getting rid of possibly your best pitcher. So what do you expect the natives to be looking at?
Well, I don't think anybody's going to be wringing their hands over the loss of David Price.
But they're ignorant then. I don't like the guy.
All right, Mike, thanks.
But he helped them win a World Series.
Let's squeeze Rob in before we hit the break. Rob in Worcester, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Craig. Hey, guys. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and Craig, I just want to. I have a criticism for you.
I'm ready.
You're very condescending to Larry, and I think that's because you're an atheist. Larry's a Christian, and I've noticed that undercurrent for years and years, and I really don't appreciate it. stop being so condescending to him, because it clearly comes through in the way that you talk to him. Just because you're a teacher and you're in education doesn't mean that you're smarter. Larry's a Christian. He's wiser, because God is real. So stop with the condescension. Yes. That's all I got to say.
Just stop it.
All right? I am duly chastened.
And I'm taking my cane out of here, too.
I from now on, nothing but the utmost respect for you, my friend.
No, I like you the way you are. I like you ignorant and just spouting off the way you... No, I don't find that. I really don't.
Listen, we have...
I think when we first started, you were like that.
I don't think that changed at all.
After I smacked you around during the breaks a couple of times, then you seemed to soften a bit.
You may not believe in evolution as a Christian, but I think most of the evolution on this show has been on your part, not mine.
Well, that would be scary.
It would be. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mustard and Johnson rolls on till 4 o'clock. This is the first live Sunday show on the FM side, really, I guess, since September.
Very strange. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I want to get a plug again. We can get it in here, The Athletic. Steve Buckley's got a great piece on The National. He features me and some of the
other
writers.
What is The National? Half the audience has no idea.
The National was a publication 30 years ago, and they gathered some of the best talent in the country under one roof, and they produced a newspaper. It was a great newspaper, but they have logistical problems with getting the scores in on time for people out in L.A. and stuff. So it just, they couldn't get it done. If it were in the digital age, then I'd be on a cruise ship right now.
Well, I think it became The Athletic. If you really think about a digital site that mirrors...
Well, why aren't I on The Athletic?
I don't know, but you are very prominently displayed in that article. So if you want to hear some very pithy quotes, or read some pithy quotes from Larry Johnson.
Oh, you're just trying to be nice.
Because
that last caller ripped you a new one.
His Christian values shine through that article.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I would definitely check
what
that out.
What else you got?
617-779.
What else you got?
7937 is the telephone
How
number.
How come you got this phone number right?
It's easy, because that's the one in my head. The other one I have to think about. The one over on the AM side.
By the way, you will find us on Saturdays on the AM dial at 9 o'clock at 617-779-0850.
You know, you're showing off now. Now you're just showing off.
I'm just showing off my education.
Because you know I can't recite both numbers
in the course
of 30 seconds.
You know, trivia like the back of your hand.
Now you're condescending to me.
I am.
That was an act of condescension.
It was. I've talked to your wife.
617-779. What is it again?
617-779-7937.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, still no word on the Mookie Betts trade. MLBPA not happy with the holdup. Player Association Chief Tony Clark says the, quote, events of this last week have unfairly put players' lives in a state of limbo, unquote. Speaking of no official word, who knows who the next Red Sox manager is? Peter Abraham in the Globe says it's Ron Renicki, but again, the Red Sox have not made an official decision, or at least refused to reveal what that decision is. John Gibbons also being interviewed for the job. He, of course, skippered the Toronto Blue Jays recently. Bruins won their sixth in a row yesterday, beating the Coyotes 4-2. They're back in action today out in Detroit after one period. The score is tied at zip-zip. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
pending a medical review, some issues have arisen, specifically with Twins right-hander Brizdal Graterol. He's a guy, young guy, 21 years old, had a shoulder impingement last season that kept him out more than 2 months. The Twins viewed him as a reliever. The Red Sox evidently had eyes on him potentially as a starter, but now after reviewing his medical records, I'm told they now see him as a reliever as well. They have a different interpretation of the risk than they thought previously. They might ask for additional compensation, be it in the form of an additional player or perhaps even cash. Right now it's on hold, but from what I'm told, everyone involved still feels confident it's getting done at this hour.
Well, that was Ken Rosenthal on Thursday night. And here we are on Sunday afternoon, and still nothing as far as the Mookie to the L.A. Dodgers deal is concerned. But here to sort it all out for us and get to the bottom of it, we don't need Ken Rosenthal. We don't need Evan Drellick or Alex Speer. We need the man from Ghouls to give us the real lowdown. Are you wearing a three-piece Ghouls suit right now as you're on the radio?
Well, first of all, I apologize. Been called, but I will say this: of the names you mentioned, you were right with one. You don't need Evan; that's for sure. You might need the others.
Okay. Let me formally introduce you, Mr. Bradford. This is the ubiquitous one, Rob Bradford of WEEI.com, taking time from his modeling gig over at Gould's on this Sunday afternoon to speak with us. So, what's going on right now? People want to know.
What's going on is making everybody's life miserable who covers this team. This has been the worst offseason because think about it, guys. You go back into December, you know, and everyone goes to the winter meetings and everything else, and you're anticipating something, but you understand it might be a little bit slow. But then by the time you get to this point in February when everyone's going down to spring training, you figure that there's nothing left but just some sit down, some nice little sit downs on the bench outside JetBlue Park, and we're sitting here. And like I tweeted out yesterday, it's the theme of this entire offseason is the one phrase: they hope to have resolution by the time camp starts. And I mean, like, come on. So anyway, to answer your question, it's not that complicated. The Red Sox really didn't like the medicals for Graterol. And what's going to be interesting to me is when goes to Dodgers, which I think there's a good chance of, will everyone be celebrating? And it also the tweet from Ken Rosenthal yesterday, just throwing it out there a little bit that maybe this got blown up because of public perception blowback that the ownership didn't like. The whole can of worms yesterday. It's going to be interesting for the next 20 hours.
Let's start from the beginning with this whole thing with Cora. What exactly happened with him to jettison him out of here?
Well, I think it was that it was the initial report on the Astros. And I think what it came down to, Larry, is that you had that initial report in the Astros. And clearly, we all know now, everyone who said anything from the Houston side thing was throwing Cora under the bus. And because he was no longer in the organization, same thing with Beltran. So he gets put in the crosshairs with that. He's identified as the mastermind and everything else with that. Mm. And then you have Lou now and Hinch, who get 1 year suspensions for being sort of on the periphery. So if that's the case, the assumption with Cora, and I think the Red Sox assumption with Cora, was that he was going to get more than a year. You probably aren't going to be sticking around. You only have a contract for 2 years. So I think that was the impetus behind them parting ways. Now, it will be interesting, you know, if the Red Sox get exonerated here coming up in the next couple of days, and you have the report now from the Wall Street Journal that Houston Astros say went beyond before Cora got there, you know, the gun with the Cora stuff a little bit.
Did they pay him off?
I'm not sure. I couldn't answer that question. I don't know. I would imagine that he gets some sort of compensation because it wasn't because he was under contract, and you know, if he's fired, he's still under contract. He's still making his money. So you know, payoff. I don't know. I'm sure he's making money.
It must be part of the deal in terms of removing him because he went very quietly.
Well, for now. for now. I mean, if put it this way, Larry, if they come back with this report and the Red Sox are basically classified as not what they said in the Athletic story, I would not be surprised to hear from Alex Cora. I would not be surprised at all. Whether it's a press conference or whether it's interviews, I would not be surprised at all.
Then you move on to the reality that John Henry is serious about cutting payroll. And the question that I ask is, what is their fan base expectations in seeing two of the better players removed from the roster?
What are their expectations?
Yeah, like, I mean, when you go to Fenway Park, go ahead.
No, it's a good point. It's, you know, when you look at it, listen, guys, I mean, here's the thing. They brought in Chaim Bloom to do a job. That was to make unpopular decisions. They knew that the luxury tax thing was going to be sitting there, and much despite what John Henry said about being media driven, that was going to be an enormous, enormous goal and a huge part of this whole equation. And in order to do that, you're going to have to part ways with popular guys. In this case, Mookie Betts. So if you do that, then you have to expect that people aren't going to be jumping up and down about trading Mookie Betts and getting back a guy with a questionable history in Verdugo and another guy who is 21 years old who has medical issues. If you're not going to get a perfect return because you're giving up 1 year, $27 million. But still, you have to understand this is how it works. And so my point is that if there was any truth at all to that Rosenthal tweet about this being about ownership drawing back from the deal because of public reception, then that is a bad, bad sign. Because one of the best things that they've done over the last few years is give total power in baseball operations to one guy. And when they did that, you guys know from before, you didn't know who was making the decisions when it came to John Lester or Hanley Ramirez or Pablo Sandoval. It could have been one of four people.
Right.
So you knew it with Dave Dombrowski. And that was a good thing. Now, it went all the way when the disagreements got so bad where he ended up getting fired. But I don't know about you guys, but to me, you still have to have that dynamic where ownership might not totally agree with it, but you have trust in the guy who you hired to make the decision.
That's a really good point. And again, I think we may be reverting to the protege era, the Ben Cherington regime, where we're hiring you as the general manager, but maybe we're going to make the ultimate decision. And you're right. One of the good things we understood that they gave the keys to the baseball operation to Dombrowski for better or for worse, and they got exactly what they wanted, and they decided they didn't like it, so they fired him. But now maybe Bloom really doesn't have that authority, and they're going to veto anything he really wants to do. And maybe this is I'm reading this story, Rob, Alex Spears' story in The Globe. I don't know if you saw it. Boros was interviewed, and Boros was hinting that it isn't really about Gratterall's injury at all. It's about the Red Sox ownership having second thoughts about the deal.
Yeah, and I saw that quote as well. It was a good story. And that, even before the Rosenthal tweet, that opened my eyes and opened the door to this conversation. And, you know, they better have, because when you give the title of chief baseball officer to somebody, no matter what his age or experience, you're giving the impression that it is the same dynamic as Dave Dombrowski, that he does have final say. And I understand ownership is always going to have the final say. But with Dombrowski, go back to when I did an interview with John Henry in London at the end of June, he said, you know, I said, well, what were some of your regrets about 2019? Well, maybe we shouldn't have brought back the whole team. Like, he let Dave Dombrowski do his thing.
Right.
All the way up until when he fired him.
Right.
Like in this case, if there was any sign that you stepped in and said to Chaim Bloom, said, hey, you know what? Maybe we don't feel that comfortable with Gratterall or see what else you can get, then that's a terrible sign.
What will history remember Dombrowski for with the Red Sox?
They should remember that he won a world championship.
Yeah.
That's what he was brought here for. And, you know, I know it's easy for everyone to say that he put him in a position, in large part. But for what he was brought in to do, he did a good job. And, you know, it wasn't to me that, like, the whole blowing up the farm system and leaving it thin and everything else. You know, that isn't, you know, I felt that was a little overstated. I think it was just more of, especially in this last year with Evaldi, you know, the contracts. I mean, the contracts really came back to bite with the position they ended up in. But overall, I mean, it's not easy to win a world championship. Anyone who does should get praised for it.
So did he clean out the cupboard, though?
Not as much as everyone thinks so, because I would say this. Of the guys that he traded, who are the guys that you say, oh, my goodness, I can't believe they don't have him anymore? I could name two, Yoan Moncada,
right,
and Michael Kopech. And you got Chris Sale back. Like, you do that deal every time. But, you know, like, Manuel Margot just got traded with another guy for a relief pitcher to Tampa. So it's not like, you know, at the time, Manuel Margot was, oh, my goodness, how could you ever trade him? Or Anderson Espinosa for a Palmer. Anderson Espinosa is on his second Tommy John surgery. So, you know, I think that that's a little bit overstated. You know, I think a big part of it, maybe you look at it, well, you didn't develop enough guys. You know, that's a fair criticism. But I think overall it's more of just the signing of the guys.
Let's say this trade goes through. What does the Red Sox starting rotation look like?
Oh, man. that's another problem, is because I do think they were going to probably take, or may take, some of this money that they got and pay it toward, like, some of the Aaron Sanchez or someone like that. Some guys, some of these back end of the rotation free agent pitchers. But, you know, right now, Martin Perez is your number four starter. Martin Perez had some of the worst stats in baseball last year. So it's very uncomfortable. Yes, that's my answer. It's a very uncomfortable rotation.
So what happens on February 12th? I guess that's their first official day of pitchers and catchers. That's what, Wednesday or Thursday? How does this unfold?
Yeah.
What do you foresee happening? Are they going to have a manager at that point? You'd like to believe that would happen. Is Mookie Betts and I guess also David Price, are they signed, sealed, and delivered to L.A.? What's happening in 3 or 4 days when this whole thing begins?
Yeah, I think the next, you know, I probably said this a couple times this offseason, but I think the next couple of days we'll have a resolution. But because I do know that Major League, I mean, this is, like, again, put it on the bumper stickers, right? It's with the ruling about the punishment for the Red Sox, they had said all along, they had told the players involved, they had told everybody, they wanted to have this done before the beginning of spring training. I think the Red Sox point of view with the manager was they weren't going to name a manager until they got the ruling down, because, you know, why it probably is going to be Ron Renneke. If Ron Renneke is involved at all, you know, you can't hire him. So there's that part of it. And then with the Mookie and Price stuff, it sounds like today, you know, they're at least moving forward. And, you know, I think they're getting so much pressure now from so many different places, whether it's the Players Association or whether it's, you know, it's just baseball overall, where you have to get something done. And so I do think, you know, by the time that formally on Wednesday, next couple of days, they'll get all of this, and we can move on to watching, watching some guy I've never heard of in the seventh inning on February 20th.
Well, I'm going to be listening, because I'm tuning in to 8:50 a.m. for another season, yes, of Rob Bradford Vintage Amplitude Modulated Broadcast.
So are you in charge?
Go ahead.
Yeah. What did you say, Larry?
I say, are you in charge of calisthenics down there or what? How does that work?
I am. Me. Yeah, Doug. I put Doug Lane through his paces. I put all the writers through their paces. Yes, absolutely.
You sound like
I will say this. I will say this is that the three people on this planet Earth can bring back the great medium of AM radio, yep, it's going to be us.
You know what we are? We're the AM amigos. How do you like that?
There you go.
The AM amigos. How long are you at spring training?
I go down, my colleague Nick Fryer is going down to cover for us this week, and then I go down a week next Saturday, and then I'll be there almost the entire time helping the great Will Fleming, the great Joe Castiglione, and having a great time doing those broadcasts.
And Will is doing play-by-play more frequently and extensively this year, which is a good thing, because he did such a good job with the pregame last year, and look forward to that.
Rob,
yeah, I love. Well, yep.
When you go down there, do you think you'll be able to perceive pretty quickly the attitude of the team? Because what do you?
No. You know, Larry, that's a good question, and I don't think so. Like, so, you know, I don't think you can until the end. I think that you have the narrative of spring training's overstated. Nothing, you can't read anything. You can read some. You can, you know, whether it's subtle things for players, how they're performing, you know, coming out of spring training. Like last year, there was definitely a sense for me anyway that they had our poop doesn't stink kind of mentality, that we'll be all right. We'll be able just to all sort of just turn over from the previous year. And then they went to Seattle and Oakland and got handled pretty well. I had that feeling coming out of spring training last year that they were maybe a little too confident in what they had and what they're heading the regular season with. But early on, you know, in terms of like the chaos, you can't tell anything. I mean, spring training is a long time. So a lot can happen and team can come together for a month and a half. But right now, I think everyone's just trying to put on a brave face while they go through something that nobody's ever gone through.
But if you're a ball player down there on the team and you know that John Henry is trying to pair off some payroll, doesn't that do something to your attitude?
Because it's selfish. I mean, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but this is why Mookie Betts we're sitting here with this Mookie Betts conversation. You know, it's a business. JD Martinez would be down at Fort Myers, Jackie Bradley, all of them, they would say it's a business. Well, guys like Chris Sale say, oh yeah, you know, I really wish we kept David Price. Sure. But, you know, I think those guys are sort of few and far between. And also, I think those guys view what they have with a little bit more optimism than we do. They're in their inner circle. They're saying, hey, everyone say we're not going to be as good, but we think we do have the talent. Like Chris Sale would say, Nathan Eovaldi's going to have a great year. I know it because he works hard and I see his stuff. Where we could say, well, he has to go prove it. So it's just a different world.
Does anybody know how Chris Sale is doing? Has anybody talked to him?
Yeah, he's doing well. I mean, he's on there. He's hitting the ground running. But that's the problem, though. Let's say that Chris Sale comes out of spring training. He's really good. He's really good for 3 months. Like, how do you expect Chris Sale to be good for the last 3 months? You can't.
You have no historical basis to think that's going to happen. Absolutely.
Are you going to hit the ground running? Like, do you feel an obligation to the ownership, or are you going to tell it like it is?
Did I just tell it like it is the last 20 minutes?
Yes, you. And the whole world is shocked.
So we will be looking forward to your dispatches down in Fort Myers beginning, I guess, at the end of the week. We appreciate your time today, Rob.
We'd like to be able to call on you, Rob, when you get going down there to find out how the food is and et cetera.
Any time. I would do it with right from the WEI mansion.
Okay.
Yes.
I hope your cold gets better. You sound like Barry White.
I'm trying to keep this all the way through the broadcast. I think it's a good look.
Well, it is.
Well, based on your commercials, I know you don't look like Barry White, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the next goal. Right.
Rob.
Another racist comment by Craig Mustard.
Rob, I'm trying to let you go, but Larry's just holding on for dear life here.
We want to get everything we can get out of him.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com. Appreciate all the input, buddy, and
have some fun in Florida.
617-779-7937 is our telephone number. Get back to your calls coming up in hour number two. Mustard and Johnson doing a rare Sunday show right here on 93.7 FM. That's right. There's nothing wrong with your set. It's Mustard and Johnson on FM till 4 right here on Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI, returning to 93.7 FM for a couple Sundays in a row. You can catch us in our usual time slot on the AM side, 9 to 12, or on the radio.com app. Meanwhile, let's say hello to our buddy John in Malden, who's next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hello, John.
Greg and Larry.
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic, Larry. I didn't get the chance yesterday to talk about the beloved Red Sox and how wonderful I think they're going to be this year. And as a matter of fact, the next couple of years. Mm. I mean, they're a disaster. As Mike said, they're a cluster bleep. I mean, no manager. They're getting rid of their best players. Explain this one to me, Craig. Why are they worried about the luxury tax, but not worried about giving away half of David Price's salary? What's the difference?
Because they think, obviously, in the long term, they're going to be able to restock the shelves when you're not going to have that kind of money on the books future. They'll do anything right now to get him out of town. They know they're not going to re-sign Mookie. He's giving you every indication he doesn't want to be here. At least he doesn't want to be here for $300 million. He wants to hit that $400 million plateau. So you gotta do something now. You have the reservoir of goodwill. You have four World Series championships. You know, if any team can get away with this for a couple of years, I think the Red Sox can. I mean, I don't think the natives are going to get that restless. I don't know if the average fan is going to say, you know what, we demand that this team has to get back to the World Series by next year. I mean, there's got to be a little bit of a period where you can kind of hit the reset button and figure out where you're going to go next.
Yeah, but if you have to, Craig, if you have to hit the reset button.
But let me say this. You would have to admit that the last decade was not kind to your baseball team. For the first time since Babe Ruth back in 1920, a Yankee team did not go to a World Series in the last decade. Okay? They didn't win every World Series in every decade because in 81 they lost and they didn't go back the rest of that decade, but at least they went. This is the first time they didn't even go to a World Series. How are they getting better? Why are they the favorites right now, John? Brian Cashman realized that he had depleted his farm system and he needed to restock it. And they know that now here in Boston.
Dombrowski. They were in a different position than the Red Sox, Craig. They had all those dead bats for years. They had Teixeira and A-Rod and McCann and Beltran, and they were slow and they couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. They weren't that good for they were okay, but they just weren't championship caliber. The Red Sox just won the World Series. I mean, I know there might be some cheating behind it, but all of a sudden now we're worried about payroll and we got to stock the shelves and everything. They really only need a little bit more in addition to their team to get over the hump.
Yeah, and that I do understand where you're coming from on that score. How many times have I said it? John Henry, you can't pin him down at all about what his philosophy is. At least you know with Cashman and Hal. Is it Hal or Hank that runs the team? I always forget which one it is. At least they're consistent, and you know it's a stable organization with a consistent philosophy, and that is sorely lacking in Boston.
Let me ask you. Craig thinks the natives won't get restless. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I think they're getting restless. They should be restless already.
I don't think they care.
I don't agree with Bradford on the team. If I'm playing on a team and the message given is we're going to cut payroll and get rid of a couple of our top players, that doesn't help my attitude as far as going there to try to win. And I don't know how it couldn't hurt your attitude.
But isn't this the ebb and flow? I mean, you can't be on top forever, and no team has been more successful. I don't know why I'm defending Henry, because I wouldn't
have signed him either.
Right. You can't. Red Sox fans have to understand, you're not getting this player for $300 million. He can command more. And I think John Henry's right about one thing. He is right about this. That no position player is worth that kind of money. I don't care who it is.
I agree.
Right.
I agree. And if I was the Angels, let's put it this way. The Dodgers can make more use of Mookie Betts than the Angels can make of Mike Trout. That's a ridiculous signing for the Angels. Okay? They're not even in the playoffs.
Right.
Why sign the guy for that kind of money? How do you sign a guy who's 28 till he's 40 years old? That's even... I think the years are more stupid than the money. I mean, if you want to pay a guy $50 million for the next 4 years, at least you can look at 4 years of production.
Well, look at
Pujols. Sign a guy for 12 years. It's ridiculous.
Look at Pujols. I mean, he left the Cardinals, and to me, he was very productive with the Cardinals, and then he just left to get more money. And his production has been nowhere near as good as it was with the Cardinals.
And, you know, they paid Rendon a lot of money, World Series hero, and you wonder if he's going to be able to pick up where he left off in D.C. out in Anaheim. That's going to be interesting. But I think the Dodgers can really take advantage of Mookie Betts' star power. You know, they have Bellinger already out in the outfield, a team that's been knocking on the door a couple of years. They're probably going to go to the World Series. They certainly have a pitching staff that can get them there.
But the Dodgers have to step in and make this trade go through. I mean, think of your fan base. All of a sudden, you're telling them we're getting Mookie Betts.
Yeah, you're licking your chops.
And David Price.
Yeah, and, you know, for them not to go back to the World Series for a third straight year. Thanks for the call, John. That was disastrous out there. They need Betts in the worst way. Red Sox cannot keep Betts in the worst way. That's why you have to believe eventually, maybe in the next 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, as Rob Bradford says, you'd like to believe this whole thing will get sorted out.
But, I mean, if you tell your fan base, people wake up in the morning and read the paper and they say Mookie Betts is coming here and David Price is coming here, there's a new air of excitement out there in Dodger Blue Land. Well, now all of a sudden, what are you going to do? Tell people now the trade didn't go through?
Never mind.
Yeah, that would be a real downer.
Yeah, and you wonder how that would play back here. I mean, Red Sox fans would welcome back Mookie with open arms, maybe not so much David Price, but how that plays in the clubhouse, how it would play in spring training down there in Fort Myers, Florida, would be very, very interesting. 617-779-7937. It's our telephone number. Mustard and Johnson, hour number two on the way on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.